Our study this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 to 35, utilizing common sense and discretion for secure living among one's neighbors. Some people have always seemed to bring disaster upon themselves since they live lives that irritate others. It's interesting when you get in the workplace or when you're relating to people, you always run into this type of a situation where there's someone who runs in, they just don't know how to interact effectively with others, and it creates problems. Well, Proverbs 3, 21 to 35, in Solomon's Egyptian Spoyet format that instructs maturing princes to align with God's fixed moral order, motivates them to focus on common sense and discretion to enjoy security in living, going a long way to avoiding reprisals from other people. And we view that passage for our edification as follows. I want to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into His Word. Thank you, Father, for your oversight of us, for your help, for the indwelling presence and power of the Spirit of God to be our teacher and our helper. We ask for wisdom today that as we get into the passage that we would understand it and utilize it, apply it effectively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. Proverbs 3, beginning to verse 21 and going to verse 35. My son, let not these depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto your soul and grace to your neck. Then shall you walk in your way safely, and your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Don't be afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be your confidence, and shall keep your foot from being taken. Do not withhold good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Do not say unto your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I'll give it to you, when you have it with you. Devise not evil against your neighbor, seeing that he dwells in security beside you. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Or you can also translate, but his confidence is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he who scorns the scorners, he scorns the scorners, but he gives grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Okay, what's going on here? Solomon called his son not to lose sight of Tushia and Mismar, for they would be life to his soul and adornment for his neck, producing security in his paths, so that even as he lay to sleep, he would not be afraid, but his sleep would be sweet. Now, to clarify, the word tushia means practical or sound judgment, what we today call common sense. In the Midwest, they call it horse sense, but here, common sense either way. And then mismar implies discretion, that has the component of discernment, discerning between good and bad. Solomon thus urged his son to keep focusing on his need to use common sense and discretion to produce a secure life. Incidentally, this probably answers the question that Lewis asked last Sunday, or a Sunday or so ago, I think it was, if you go out and stand in the road when a truck's coming and trust the Lord that the truck's not going to run over you, will the Lord protect you, that kind of a thing. Well, the Lord wants us to use common sense. Common sense would dictate that you don't go out and stand in front of a dump truck. If you buy the farm on that, then it's basically your own fault from God's perspective. So he wants us to use common sense. In fact, that's a key component of the fear of the Lord and of wisdom. That's common sense, using your head. There's a proverb that says, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord God hath made them both. The implication is God gave you your own eyes and your own ears, which provide the greatest amount and degree of empirical information and insight that you have, so he expects you to use them, your eyes and your ears. So what your eyes see and what your ears hear provides information that doesn't get any more truer for you. There's no better input that you can get from anybody else than what you see with your own eyes and what you hear with your own ears. Okay, applying this common sense and discretion to real-life situations, Solomon in Proverbs 3, 25 to 35, shows how they would provide security from loss in relating to one's neighbors. Let me just reverse those fans. It was too hot in here. Now it's getting a little chilly, but anyway. If a God-fearing believer utilizes common sense and discretion in his life, he will not need to fear sudden disaster or ruin that overtakes those who are wicked and thus lack these traits. That's what verse 25 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it comes." This is all in the context of using common sense and discretion. And this will occur because the Lord will keep such a believer from being snared by his own unwise moves so that he can be confident that the Lord himself will act as a security from calamity. It's interesting, if a person doesn't bother to use his own common sense, the Lord just backs off and kind of lets him go his way. And if he runs into trouble, fine. But if you're using common sense and trying your very best to evaluate the situation that is around you and to use discernment, God will go to bat for you and he'll give you hints. He'll give you advice or give you little bits of information that you couldn't get on your own. He likes a person trying to use his own head, trying to use his own mind, trying to think. And that's why it's always good for us to work. Believe it or not, our own parents would do the same thing. I know when I was growing up, if I was trying to think, even if I was thinking from an inadequate amount of information, but if I was trying my best to use my head, my dad always liked that, and mom always liked that, and they would give me breaks or give me insight as to, you know, how to do it better next time. Or if I got into trouble and I was trying to do something the very best that I could using the head that I had, the parents would evaluate that and they'd say, well, you know, under the circumstances, that's really my fault because I should have told you more information, but you were making the best decision. So next time, do this or that. But if you're not bothering to use your own common sense, and then you break a bearing or something like that, then we get into trouble. So God's the same way with us. Now, illustrations of this truth as it relates to living among one's neighbors are given in Proverbs 3, 27 to 35. Solomon noted that common sense and discretion drives the believer not to withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in his power to do the good. Verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Now this step avoids angry vengeance from other people and thus enhances our security from vicious retaliation by others. If we can really help someone, we should have. I got a call this past week from someone who wanted a blank sheet of our ministry schedule available, wanted to know if I'd be here on a certain day. Well, I was going to be away that day, but I said, I'll tell you what, I'll leave it in the mailbox of the church. Oh, fine, great. So we left it in the mailbox. Now, if I'd said, no, I'm not going to be here, and just left it at that, you know, it would probably put pressure on the individual, but if we can go the extra mile, and if someone happens to take it out of the mailbox, it's really not our fault, at least we were trying. But I think little steps like that, if we do what we can to help a person when it's in our power to help them, it goes a long way towards keeping relationships solid and cuts back on people wanting to retaliate. I mean, if we just burn our bridges with relationships, it incites people to anger and causes them to want to retaliate. And God doesn't want us to do that. Now, common sense and discretion drives the God-fearing believer not to plot any harm against his neighbor who lives trustfully beside him. For doing so will only incite the neighbor to anger and lead to a life of sudden disaster when the angry neighbor retaliates. That's for verse 29, devise not evil against your neighbor, seeing that he dwells securely beside you. I was thinking of this in regards to my neighbor. When he was building his pool, his indoor in-ground pool, I noticed that it seemed to be awfully close to my property, but I thought surely he's gotten, you know, insight in regards to that. Well, one day I was out after he'd finished the pool, and I found out that he actually put part of his retaining wall in the pool was actually on my property. So I went to him about it, and of course he was sick about it and upset about it. He said, no, we hadn't. We thought we had, you know, plenty of room, and we just assumed. Of course, assuming doesn't feed the bulldog. But at that particular point, I said, well, you know, if we can get a lawyer, I'll be willing to go in, and we can use the same lawyer so that it cuts down on costs. And he offered to get the lawyer. And the lawyer told him, he says, I'm going to have to let Mr. Shell know that if he wants to, he can make you move that pool, because legally he can. But I've got to let him know it. Well, the neighbor got real scared at that point, because to move the pool, you're talking lots and lots and lots of money. And money that he didn't have, because he'd already used up his savings on this. And when I found out about it, I went to the lawyer, and the lawyer invited me. He says, I have to let you know that you can make him move the pool. And I said, well, that doesn't make any sense, because it's just a lot of needless money. But what can we do so that I can protect myself if I ever have to sell the house? And he says, well, what we normally do in a situation like this is draw up an easement agreement that we attach to the title. And that means that he is fully responsible for any damages and liability if someone falls off the retainer wall, even though that's on your property. He assumes responsibility for that. And then if he ever moves the pool, he has to return the land to the status that it was before he had the pool there. I said, fine. So we signed the papers and everything went fine. So he agreed to pay, in reference to this, he agreed to pay me $1. I've never gotten $1, but I don't have the guts to go over and ask for the dollar. It's just one of those legal situations. And I think that would only irritate him if I were to go ask him for $1. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. But little things like this, I realize, and that's made things really workable with the neighbor. So if we can watch what we can do to give someone else a break, if we can help someone around us, it goes a long way towards cutting down retaliation and providing security for us. An example of failure in such a case is given in Proverbs 3:30, where one accuses his neighbor for no reason when the neighbor has done him no harm, breeding revenge and thus a lack of security for the wrongdoer. Verse 29, devise not evil against your neighbor, seeing that he dwells securely beside you. The last thing you want to do is to make your neighbor angry, because then you're getting into retaliation. One time on our street, we noticed someone had put up a fence between the neighbors, and the fence only went partway, and all of a sudden the other neighbor put up another fence, and they painted a real ugly pig with wings on it, everything, and I could tell immediately there was some bad blood between the neighbors. Someone had said or done something, and it created this huge scene. Another time in Bristol, we were driving down, and we noticed that there were two fences. A neighbor had put up a fence with the other neighbor. The other neighbor didn't like the fence, so 6 inches away from that was another fence that went up like that. And he had these two fences. They must have been 7 to 8 feet high. It was completely unnecessary, but Doug McCallum, who was my lawyer at one time, he was in a buying house, he pointed that out, and he kind of mocked that. He says, you know, people are supposed to be neighborly, and this is the wrong way to go about it, so even he could see it. So we have to be very, very careful in regards to not doing our neighbor harm and accusing him wrongly. Common sense and discretion leads a believer not to envy or to adopt a violent man's ways. In Proverbs 3:31, because God detests the perverse, violent man, leading him to an insecure life, to contrast with those who have common sense and discretion, whom God rewards by bringing them into his protective confidence. I misspelled bringing there. I'll have to correct that. Verse 31:32, envy not the oppressor and choose not of his ways, for the froward man is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. And then common sense and discretion leads the God-fearing believer to have his home blessed, where the home of the wicked is cursed with the lack of blessing due to his own personal harm. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of those who are wicked, but the blessed, the habitation of the just. Wicked, the base of the word wicked is restless. A person is constantly going around that way, and it carries a connotation over into morality. Common sense and discretion also makes the believer humble, and God shows him grace opposite proud mockers who only incite retaliation to the harm of their own future security. Verse 34, surely God scorns the scorners, but he gives grace unto the lowly. Humility is something that not only is workable in relating to other people, but it's something that is very appreciated by God. And if we have a mentality of humility, God goes to bat for us in our relationships and in difficult situations that we're around. And humility doesn't mean that you let people walk all over you, but it's humility is an attitude of genuine honesty about yourself in relating to other people. And that's the way we need to be. Common sense and discretion also makes one who is aligned with God's fixed moral order inherit honor from God, where fools lacking such qualities he holds up to be publicly shamed. Verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be to the promotion of fools. I think back in verse 28, I might have neglected the example that is there. It says, say not unto your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give you, and then you will have it when it surely it is beside you. Solomon warned against telling one's neighbor to return the next day for a gift when it was within his power to provide it that day. Such a statement under this situation can only anger the recipient and eventually sabotage his future safety. My daughter and I were out looking for a car, and she purchased a car this past a week. And we had originally made plans with the person who was selling it to pick the car up on Tuesday. And when we called, or the owner who was the seller was calling us, it was a dealer, and he said, well, this happened, and the guy who normally goes to the DMV, you know, was sick, and so come tomorrow. Well, that kind of left a bad taste because we made this commitment, and both Joanne and I thought, well, if we were in this situation like that, go to the DMV yourself. You know, you made that commitment to the consumer, you'll live up to it. And but we stomached it. We waited. We thought, you know, what's he going to do? Is he going to string us along for a week or two? What's the deal? But fortunately, we were able to go Wednesday, and we were able to pick the car up. I was able to pick it up and so forth. But I was thinking, I was in the process of preparing this very lesson, and I thought about it. When you have the power within you to do that which is good, do it right away. One thing I've learned in business relationships, it's always good to keep short accounts. If you have something to owe somebody, pay them. The sooner the better, you know, right up front. If we're in the process of purchasing something from someone who's selling us, if we've made a commitment on a certain day to have the bank check there or whatnot, show up, do it, because it always leaves a good taste. You present yourself as being trustworthy. But if you lollygag around for whatever reason, you know, people understand if you face a tragedy, like if your wife suddenly dies and you got a funeral or something like that. They normally can relate to that. But the point is, if we have the capacity to help our neighbor today, we don't say come back tomorrow. Delay always sets a bad tone and can start an avalanche rolling in the wrong direction. So we need to be right up front. So the lesson is the common sense and the discretion in aligning to God's fixed moral order must be constantly used for one to enjoy relative security from disaster. For doing so wins God's rewarding protective insight and avoids wronging others, and thus avoids inciting them to take ruinous revenge. In other words, it's always good, it's always wise to do that which is going to minimize interpersonal relationship problems with other people. Just basically seek to get along. So the application is, may we always focus on using common sense and discretion to stay secure in life from harmful revenge from others and to enjoy God's rewarding supportive guard against calamity. So another thing we can keep in mind, if we have difficulty keeping certain types of commitments with other people, the best thing to do is to not make that commitment. Tell them up front, look, I'm not sure if I can, you know, come through with this on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. It might even be Saturday. It won't be any later than Saturday because here are the variables. Let them know right up front so that they don't have this surprise. And if you can come through earlier than what you'd planned, boom, everything goes great. But it's amazing how just considering other people and putting ourselves in the shoes of the other person, how much that can do and how far that can make us go towards winning relationships with people. Business is especially good this way. Often, the person who gets the sale is the person who is treating the customer the right way. I remember years ago I was working in a drugstore, and I wasn't supposed to be one of the clerks on the floor. I was supposed to be someone who was a stock boy, is restocking things. And but I had the vest on for the store, and someone asked, a lady came up and asked me for some advice as to where to find something. And I said, well, let me see. And because you're always taught, you know, you drop everything for the customer, even if you're not showing over. And it wasn't exactly what she wanted. So I thought, well, this lady really, I know what she needs. So let's look around. So, well, let's look around. It's either in this aisle, that. So I spent about 10 minutes and finally found it. And she said, you know, because you spent the time, I'm going to buy it here. She said, I probably could have gone somewhere else, but I like the fact that you took the time. And I was surprised. And that was a learning thing as I was in my 20s at the time. But we were taught, you know, these customers are kind of like family, so they're the ones who are paying for the bread and butter. So treat them well. Treat them like you would your own cousin, your aunt, your sister, or whatever. And get out there and do a job. And it really pays if we just consider other people. Same thing goes in being a witness. We want to be a good witness to another person. We have to consider where the other person, how would you want to be witnessed to if you had the truth? If you didn't have the truth and someone else did, how would you expect someone to make it sellable to you? Would you come at him with a great big Bible and preach at him? You know, that would turn me off. You know, it's sometimes I dread seeing people going around door to door because, oh, no, they're going to come here. And they might even be Baptists, same belief that I have, and they may not even be Mormons or so forth. But we have to be careful how we go about what we're doing to relate to other people so that we respect their turf and respect them and come through and uphold our commitments to them. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or discussion, feedback. It could be on some of these issues or it could be at something else, and we'll do our best.